Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Well, I mean fucking A. You know what I'm saying, Chris?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say this is might be the happiest of all happy hours. You want to know why?
Why?
Because it may do the most good in the world. Why?
Why?
Luke Skywalker. This is a 1 degree of Luke Skywalker separation.
Yes.
Happy hour. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because I got to hang out with Mark Hamill.
Uh-huh.
And you know why?
Why?
Because he wanted to meet Victor Shee.
Yes.
The official stem cell political activist of the Stephanie Miller Show. My little tiny baby political activist, Victor Shee. And so we did. We got to hang out.
Yep.
And then what happened? We had the lady that's going to beat Rick Scott for the Senate in Florida.
Right.
Representative Debbie Mucarcel Powell. I said it right.
You did.
Debbie for Florida.
Yes.
Had her on this week. She was fantastic.
She was.
Mark Hamill tweeted, "I have donated and endorsed Debbie. She is fantastic."
Yep.
Because he heard her right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
He did.
That is a 1 degree of Luke Skywalker.
You are
the political droids he is looking for. This is all hands on deck for 2024.
He is Endor, and he is the moon that everybody circles around.
Yes.
Whatever you just said. I don't speak nerd, but my point is, if you do, listen to this happy hour and drink up.
Sometimes Louise and I just crave a restaurant-quality dinner at home without doing all the work or driving. Well, Cook Unity is the first chef-to-you service delivering locally sourced meals from award-winning chefs right to your door every week. And it appears to be less expensive than other delivery options. Go to cookunity.com/Hartman with two N's or enter the code Hartman with two N's before checking out for 50% off your first week. We just received our first meals from Cook Unity. And what a huge difference it is to get the best chefs in the country to bring creative, delicious meals to us and you every week. Every meal is handcrafted by chefs and made in local micro kitchens, not large production facilities. We just had the Chipotle maple glazed salmon with green beans and mango pico de gallo. It had everything we love in a meal. They have all sorts of options like vegan, paleo, pescatarian, gluten-free, and more. Menus are posted 2 weeks in advance, so you have plenty of time to choose. Experience chef-quality meals every week delivered right to your door. Go to cookunity.com/Hartman with two N's or enter the code Hartman with two N's before checking out for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using the code Hartman or going to cookunity.com/Hartman.
Quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have, the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform, one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. NetSuite.com/Miller. NetSuite.com/Miller. One more time, NetSuite.com/Miller. We are feeling happy clappy, not only because of the Democratic win in Alabama by 25 points in Alabama, as Forrest Gump would say. But also just, you know, the power of the people, that, you know, the degree to which people spoke out about the hiring of Ronna McDaniel. And she lasted, did we say it was a quarter of a Scaramucci?
I think it was, yes, okay. Just a quarter.
All right. But we, by the way, we are fine Americans, right, Chris?
We
believe in democracy.
Yes, we do.
We also know enough to do whatever Michelangelo Ciarelli tells us to do.
Yes.
One of our fantastic hosts here on on SiriusXM. There is a candidate running against Rick Scott for the Senate in Florida that we wanted to say hello to. I'm going to try not to massacre your name. Representative Debbie
Mucarcel
Powell. Did I say that right?
You said it beautifully, Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, you know we are so rooting for you against Rick Scott for sure. But tell us a little bit. I love your headline is Debbie. Your story is Florida's story. You came to the U.S. from South America at a young age with your mom and your sisters, fleeing violence, searching for a better life. We have something in common. You worked at a donut shop. Yeah. I worked
Did
at a donut
see?
Shop. Yeah. Yes, right.
So you saw how they make the donuts. Do you still eat donuts, Stephanie? That'll tell me a lot.
No, right now. I do not. And I believe I only lasted a couple of days. It was a 4 a.m. donut making job, and I was like, I'm out. So
it,
I have.
It is tough, and there's a lot of oil involved. Yeah.
So tell us what you obviously you have really a interesting story, a tragic in some ways. You were 24. You lost your dad to gun violence. Mm-hmm. Just talk to us a little bit about who you are.
Yeah. So, you know, my mom, I'm the youngest of four sisters, and my mom, she's always been this very independent, strong-minded woman who wanted to provide opportunities for us. And she knew that in our home country of Ecuador, it was going to be very difficult. I mean, she tried. She worked in Ecuador also, but it was just very difficult. And so she brought my sister. She brought me. I was 14 at the time when I came to the United States. And she worked, very quickly. She found a job. She started cleaning houses, doing whatever she could just to be able to make ends meet. I helped her do that also. But My first real job was actually when I was 15 years old. And like you said, I worked at this donut shop. It was a minimum wage job, but it gave me, I was very proud because I was able to save enough money to buy myself my first car. And I think that that really symbolizes the opportunities that we have here in America, that so many people come here to work, to provide for their families, to make it. And I worked really hard in high school. I was able to get a scholarship to attend a really great school. I got my college degree. I then went on to get a master's degree, and it was during my master's that I was pulled out of class. I'm never going to forget that moment. My sister had called the school. I was pulled out, and I was told that my father had been killed by a criminal with a gun, and it was a moment that really changed everything for me and for my family. After that, I moved and came to live to Miami. One of my sisters was living there, and I wanted to be close to her. And I decided I needed to do everything in my power and in my career to give back to this country, to the country that had given me so much. And also to fight for justice, to fight for so many people that didn't have a voice. And so I worked for a few years in different nonprofits, but most of my career was as an associate dean there at FIU at the medical school. And it was at that time that I was watching, seeing what Republicans were doing in Washington. They were trying to repeal the Affordable Care Act at the same time that I was trying to actually expand access to good quality health care. I ran in a district. No one knew who I was, right? I didn't come from politics. And I ran in a district against a Republican that was very popular at the time, but he kept voting to repeal the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
Everyone in Washington thought it was impossible. All the political pundits thought it was impossible. I remember the Cook Political Report, you know, saying not only is it lean Republican, they were going to make it a solid Republican after I had been running for quite some time, raising money, doing what I needed to do, and talking to my community. I had a very good pulse on what was going on in my community. And then I beat him. I beat him, yeah. Stephanie.
Can I just say my story from making donuts did not go to a master's and to the United States Congress. I am here in my basement telling fart jokes. But listen, Representative, let's talk about you live in Miami with your husband, your three kids, and you were running against Rick Scott, who, you know, is part of what's wrong with Florida. As I hear you talk about health care, I think of your crazy, what's his name, Dr. Lapido, that, you know, an anti-vaxxer, that is part of the reason why there's a measles outbreak in Florida that is spread to other states from people that have visited Florida.
Stephanie, one of the things that I want everybody to understand is that most Floridians are so we're all so done with extremists like Latipo, like Rick Scott. They don't represent who we are here in the state of Florida. I feel in some ways that the state has been hijacked by the most extreme members of the ultra right wing of this party. Rick Scott, as governor, didn't expand Medicaid, actually made significant cuts to public education. He started off as governor being an extremist, attacking women's rights. Yep. He actually passed a law that would require a woman who had decided to end her pregnancy to actually be forced to go and have an ultrasound of her pregnancy. I mean, just cruel policies, horrible on the environment. And yes, like you said, Latipo, who's someone that's spreading conspiracy theories and now is telling parents to choose whether they want to vaccinate or not and choose if they want to send their kids or not to school, when we know that measles is extremely infectious and an extremely dangerous disease. And so what I say to everyone is you cannot ignore Florida if you want to protect democracy, decency, if you want to protect our healthcare here in the country, equal rights, women's rights. This is about making sure that we get rid of the extremism that Trump really brought to Florida. I mean, this was not our state. It was Trump that brought this to Florida.
That's a migration. You should have stopped Trump migrating there. Representative, I don't mean to dredge up old things, but wasn't Rick Scott involved in Medicare fraud in some way? didn't he have a company way back when? Can you just refresh my memory?
Yes. And so he was the CEO of this healthcare company, Columbia, which committed the largest Medicare fraud in the history of the country. They had to pay the federal government about $1.7 billion of Medicare fraud. He oversaw that Medicare fraud. And what he pled the fifth over 75 times. And actually, in your segment here starting, I heard someone was talking about Trump saying, you know, how is this man not in jail? And it's exactly what I hear across Florida, Stephanie.
Yes.
Every Floridian that I meet, including Republicans.
How is he a senator? I've said this before, Representative. How did he get to be governor? I'm flabbergasted.
It's unfortunate that money dictates politics here in this country. And he used all that money to buy his seat as governor. He used it to buy his seat in the Senate. And what I tell everyone is his luck is about to run out. No amount of money to save him this time.
Representative, what just happened in Alabama yesterday, people are saying Republicans have no idea what's coming in November. And I sure hope you're part of that. Elizabeth Warren tweeted, "The case before the Supreme Court today is not about the safety or efficacy of medication abortion. The FDA has already made it clear mifepristone is safe and effective. This case is about Donald Trump and the Republican Party marching us toward a full-on national abortion ban." We keep calling it Roe rage, but I think there's really a big wave coming, don't you?
Absolutely. And we will know this week, and we're expecting it to be confirmed that we will have an abortion initiative on the ballot to protect abortion rights here in the state of Florida. And this is a fundamental civil rights issue for women, Stephanie. This is about not only whether a woman can decide when or how to start a family. It's a privacy issue for a woman between her family, her doctor, her faith. But it's also a safety issue for so many women. And as a Latina, I can tell you that Latina women understand very well what it means to have a government interfere in those decisions. and dictate whether what we can or cannot do with our own bodies. This is about the freedom to choose. This is about having our own decision-making of what we can do with our bodies. I mean, and Rick Scott is pushing for a national abortion ban, and he said that he would proudly sign into law the 6-week abortion ban that DeSantis signed here in the state of Florida. And so, like you said, I think women across the state of Florida, including Republican women that signed on to this ballot initiative, and men, by the way, we are ready to make sure that we protect that right to choose. But also, it won't mean anything if Rick Scott gets reelected, goes back to the Senate, and they push a national abortion ban at the federal level.
Yeah. I think based on a lot of things, we have a very good chance of keeping the Senate, and you're certainly a part of that, and I'm rooting for you, and please come back. And now that I've learned to pronounce your name, please come back anytime. Yes. Representative Demi Mukarcel Powell.
There you
I did
go.
It again.
Thank you, Stephanie, and I hope everyone supports my race. Go to debbieforflorida.com. I really need everyone listening to support me. We can't let this man, with all the money that he has from Medicare fraud, buy that seat again. And I know that together we can win.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, that's much easier. Debbie for Florida. I can remember that. I don't even have to attempt the last part. Debbie for Florida. Do it, everybody.
All right.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Oh, every little boy remembers the first time he was jingled. You've been jingled.
Yeah.
Hi, Victor.
I've been jingled. I know. This is crazy. It was first just the title. Now it's a jingle.
Yeah.
It's great to see you.
You're a man, a myth, and a jingle. yeah. I mean, we've been talking about that all morning, Victor. Same thing you were tweeting about is God bless all of these anchors from Morning Joe all the way through Stephanie Ruhle all day. Really, yeah. I thought spoke out so eloquently and, individually. About this, because I think Rachel was so great the way she framed it as such a much bigger issue about democracy itself, right?
Absolutely. I mean, she spent, I think, 30 minutes on sort of that topic generally, and then she addressed the issue specifically with Ronna McDaniel. But I mean, it's such a, when I read the news, I think I felt just like everyone else felt, which is, why are we platforming Ronna McDaniel, who spent so long trying to overturn the 2020 election in states like Michigan, and then she was on, Kristen Welker over the weekend, and I caught a couple of clips. I didn't watch it live, but, seeing her try to revise history and say, well, back then, I took one for the team, and now I'm just more free, and I can express my opinions, more freely and more clearly. It was such a slap on the face to anyone who I think cares about journalistic integrity and truth and facts and our democracy. And the fact that she's being paid $300,000 is even more abhorrent. But I thought what Lawrence did, what Jen Psaki did last night, I think basically all the primetime anchors addressed it in some form. I didn't watch it all live. I only watched Lawrence and Rachel. But they were so good. And Rachel especially, just framing that sort of in the broader context of what we've seen before in history and how this is sort of just like authoritarianism and democracy when it was on the brink of collapse.
And, you know, Victor, this is the conversation you and I have every time, is just about this is going to be our biggest fight. You mentioned Barb McQuaid's book last time you were on about disinformation. That, you know, and sure enough, we had a right-wing caller go, oh, Jen Psaki would work for Democrats. And you know, it's like, no, Ronna McDaniel was involved in a crime in the overthrow of the United States government. That is not right or left and difference of opinion. This is going to be the whole battle. You know, you try to do it among people your age, that on social media, there's so much disinformation.
Absolutely. And there's a really sobering, I haven't read the entire article yet, but there's a sobering piece in the Atlantic this morning by Quinta Jerzyk, I think is her last name. And she basically has a thesis that the disinformation problem is going to be very, very hard to solve. Apparently, there was a study that tried to present sort of new information and frame things in a different way for people who didn't believe in certain, you know, basic science or basic things about democracy. And very few of them changed their mind. So it's a fight that's going to take all of us. But I think it's a reminder that, you know, perhaps that MAGA sort of crowd, the people who really support Donald Trump, aren't the ones we should be necessarily targeting. I think there are sort of a subgroup of people within the middle, you know, who are more progressive or who are more sort of right-leaning, but not necessarily MAGA Republican, who we could definitely sway. But it's going to take a lot of work of us just constantly pushing out the facts, pushing out, you know, different narratives. And I think it's going to take a lot, you know, to get them to change their minds. But I think it's possible. But I think for that subset of group who just doesn't believe anything about democracy or facts, it's probably going to be virtually impossible.
Well, I think, you know, we were saying it's good polling that, you know, Biden has pulled ahead in the swing state polls. But the fact that he could even be close... I mean, it's just, and we were talking about, like, we played audio from one MAGA, you know, rally goer that said, well, I have diabetes and I'm just grateful to, you know, President Trump for getting me $35 insulin. Yeah. I mean, it's just basic stuff like that, you know, what's your advice on how we combat that? It is a constant stream of disinformation on the right.
Well, first of all, I mean, to your point about the election being so close, I wish we had a broader conversation and more national conversation about this Electoral College, which is the only reason why our elections are close, and then we focus on these handful of states.
Right.
And if it weren't for that, I mean, President Biden would win the popular vote easily, just like he did in 2020, just like Hillary Clinton in 2016, just like Al Gore did in 2000. I mean, time and time again, I think the popular vote sort of proves that how flawed the Electoral College is. But, you know, in terms of reaching that sort of audience that just doesn't believe or doesn't even consume the facts that we consume, you know, Nicole Wallace often calls it Earth 2, where people live in a totally different universe. They're living in a place where they have no sense of reality, no sense of facts. And it's partly because the people who tell them those facts are people who know better. It's people like, I think, Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity and people on that network who I think know the facts, but they just frame it in a way, and they tell lies, and I think that's really dangerous. They do it repeatedly, they do it loudly, and that audience unfortunately believes them now. And I think it's very hard to reach that, you know, audience. I think one of the things that I often like to do is just sort of ask a series of questions. It's like, well, do you care about this issue? And if so, let me tell you what President Biden has done. And oftentimes that'll force them to rethink. Or I'll ask them, where are you getting your news? Or what evidence do you have for, you know, elections being stolen and Joe Biden not being the president? What is your evidence? What are the facts that you have? And oftentimes that's when they'll sort of crumble and be like, you know, maybe my evidence and facts aren't as solid as I thought. But I think it's just asking them those questions and getting them to think about their assumptions and sort of their claims.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the Ronna McDaniels are one of the reasons that Trump has been normalized. And the mainstream media putting people like everything's just difference of opinion. We have measles outbreaks because, you know, there's no real science or facts. There's just opinions on vaccines. You know, I mean, it's, you know, you said NBC knew exactly what they were doing when they hired Ronna McDaniels as a paid contributor. No amount of rehabilitation will change their hiring. Her interview this morning, full of lies and gaslighting, was expected. It's why I didn't watch and will never watch her. It's shameful. I mean, it's and she tried to repeat the whole, well, there were problems with the election. It's like, no, there weren't. You know, I mean, it's at least Kristen Welker pushed back on that. Like, no, there were 60 court cases. Yeah. Leslie Stahl just pushed back on Jim Jordan, saying, no, there weren't. Like, you have to stop saying, oh, well, everybody thinks there were problems or irregularity. No, there weren't. You know, so that's
I hope more journalists, I mean, it's good to see Kristen Welker, who I've been critical of, push back in the way that she did. And I thought the discussion afterward with Chuck Todd was especially, I think that was sort of a turn in terms of getting the momentum within the network to come out against the hiring run on Daniel. But I thought what Chuck Todd said about how she was basically put in an impossible situation and she did her best to push back, but the network put her in a really bad position. And, you know, she tried to push back, but with Ron McDaniel, you never just know who she is representing, whether it's herself or true opinions or whether this is her trying not to break her contract. I mean, who knows? And, you know, she spent so long in 2020 repeating those lies, pushing that disinformation about the election. And it just sort of, it's skeptical to see her now coming out in the way that she is and trying to rehabilitate herself.
Yeah. Who would have thought Chuck Todd would usher in the return of journalism?
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, we were saying...
Maybe there's still hope.
Right.
It must have rubbed off, because you're right. Kristen Welker did finally, you know, I can't watch either but normally, but she did push back on, you know, no, crime is down. No, fentanyl comes through the, you know, legal ports of entry. Like, just all of these lies that all these right-wingers just... It's like a tennis ball machine of lies. Whenever they go on somewhere, they just repeat these same lies, and it's thank you for the tennis ball machine. This whole, you know, that Trump gets treated unfairly. You said, why on God's green earth does Donald Trump get preferential treatment under the law? He's no different than anyone else who commits crimes. Today's ruling was a total injustice. We should all be furious at yet another instance of two standards of justice. I mean, this is the luckiest MF-er ever. And the whiniest little bitchy victim. I mean, at the same time, it's incredible that I don't even know where this ruling came from. Do you, like, none of the rest of us gets breaks like that? And by the way, the reason his is so high is because of the scale of his fraud. It covers a lifetime.
Right. I mean, I was going to say exactly that. He is so lucky. I mean, I can't think of anyone who is luckier than him. For his entire life, he's evaded justice. He's evaded accountability. I mean, thank goodness for E. Jean Carroll and Fannie Willis and Letitia James, who are doing so much to hold him accountable. And, you know, E. Jean Carroll is, I think, the first woman who has actually won against Donald Trump and beat Donald Trump. So good for her, and thank goodness for that case. But, I mean, with this especially, seeing that judgment yesterday, reducing his the amount he has to offer from $475 million to just 100-something million. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's such a big reduction, and saying that he has 10 more days to find that money. It's really, I think, just another, I think Jen Psaki yesterday on her show put it best, where, I mean, there are two tiers of justice in this country, one for the really rich and powerful people like Trump and one for the rest of us. And it's appalling every time. And I don't know what it'll take to change that, but it's really, I think, insulting.
To your point, Victor, the breaking news this morning, because I've often wondered about this. Texas AG Ken Paxton reaches a deal to end securities fraud charges after 9 years. Prosecutors announced an agreement that would ultimately dismiss securities fraud charges he's been facing for nearly a decade. So they will drop 3 felony counts against him. As part of the deal, he must pay full restitution to victims and must also complete community service, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, to me, once again, you're like, what? How has this gone on 10 years? I mean, people in other countries, Victor, ask all the time, how has Donald Trump not in prison? I mean, how has he actually gotten away with all of this for a lifetime?
I mean, how I agree. That's a question I think so many of us are asking, is how is he still not in prison? How is he still not fully held accountable? I mean, there's so many reports now about, you know, from January 6th to stealing classified documents to pressuring state elected officials to overturn elections to, you know, being the fraudster he is. I mean, how has he not somehow ended up in jail or faced massive accountability is beyond me. And you know, I think there's a conversation to be had about Merrick Garland acting too slow. I think there's a conversation to be had about certain judges like Eileen Cannon and the way that Trump has sort of rewritten the courts and installed Trump loyalists to the courts. I mean, it's something that I think we have to sort of discuss broadly now. And you know, it's something that Simon Rosenberg says a lot, which is we can't wait for justice to happen in this case. We know what Trump has done. We know all the things that he's committed and all the crimes he's committed. And it's time for all of us just to run on that and remind people constantly that, sure, the courts might be slow, but this is who the man is. Mm-hmm. Juries have already found him liable. Juries have already found him guilty for certain crimes, and we have to push that message out there and not wait for the courts to make their decision. But it is the reality is, you know, he's still facing massive amounts of I think preferential treatment and should be angry about
this.
That
is why it's so great that you host iGen Politics with Jill Weinbanks, famed Watergate prosecutor, because and it's so important that you keep pushing back on the mainstream media, because as Jill Weinbanks and many others have said, like, Nixon wouldn't have had to resign if there'd been right-wing radio and Fox News and a mainstream media that is complicit like it's like it had, has been in this day and age. So we have to try to fight back for facts, I think, wherever we can. Or as Jill would say, facts. You know, the kind you find fact-based.
In her Chicago accent.
Yeah. Like the fact that Wacker is a good street. Okay.